Hello, everybody. Before we get started with today's interview, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the folks at CU Solutions and their second annual Love My Credit Union campaign. This campaign highlights credit unions giving back to their communities and sharing their heartfelt work on videos. These videos are being shared to inspire random acts of kindness and give back to charities that are near and dear to credit unions and their members. So go visit lovemycreditunion.org today.
On the show today, we have the winner of NAPCU's Paul Revere Award. That would be Family Trust Credit Union's David Casey. So check it out.
Oh, hey, you are the most recent winner of NAPCU's Paul Revere Award. And congratulations. That's pretty cool stuff. How does it feel?
Well, I was very humbled by it. It feels great. It's obviously, it's a very prestigious award. And again, like I said, I'm very humbled by it.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, for those who don't know or what the award's about, I mean, what were you recognized for?
The award's centered around political advocacy. So obviously what they want to be an award winner, you have to reach out to your congressional elected official and do several things during the year and just really exemplify yourself as somebody that went the extra mile to make sure that we're doing everything we can do to let people know about credit union issues.
Yeah, exactly. What exactly did you do? I mean, for folks out there who may want to kind of up their advocacy efforts, what did you do to kind of excel in this area?
Well, the thing I think that helps me a lot is the fact that I've developed a relationship with our congressional elected official. Mm-hmm. His name is Mick Mulvaney, by the way, and he's the House representative for South Carolina's House number 5.
Okay.
Mick's been in the seat since 2010, and immediately we hit it off personally.
Cool.
To the tune where I'm actually able to communicate with him via text, which
wow.
is amazing.
You got him on speed dial.
You know, nothing in Washington really works easy, but our relationship and our communication back and forth has, which is wonderful. Mick's a great guy. He's a family man. But I guess the biggest point is I would always encourage people to do is to try to get to know their elected official in a personal light.
Yeah, indeed. So yeah, relationships are everything.
Absolutely.
So, what, I mean, through your efforts, what have you seen any results? What have you seen through your relationship?
Congressman Mulvaney was instrumental in writing the Transparency Act of 2016, which basically holds the NCUA accountable for being more transparent to the credit unions they represent. That was a huge step forward.
Yeah.
He's been supportive on all the various issues that I've ever taken to him, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Data security, reg relief, those are the two biggest issues really that we're fighting right now. And he's always been receptive, and he'll sit down when he's in the district. We'll go have breakfast or we'll have lunch together, and
right,
he'll sit down with me and we'll go through the issues piece by piece. And then he takes that and really puts it to work. The other nice thing about the South Carolina delegation in our state is that they work together in a pretty cohesive way. In other words, they rely on one another for their expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And Mick's expertise lies squarely with financial services, and he's on the financial services committee.
Awesome.
So when Trey Gowdy or Jeff Duncan want input on a certain bill that has to do with financial services, mm-hmm. they go to Mick. And so consequently, that's it's a great thing for us because we feel like we've got ear of the right person so that he can spread that message throughout the entire.
No doubt. So, I mean, having his ear, has it expanded the credit union knowledge within his circles as well, do you think? Does he talk? I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I mean, I'm assuming he may talk with his constituents about this type of stuff.
Absolutely. He does not mind at all reminding people that he is a member of two credit unions, and he certainly supports the movement and understands what our intent is, people helping people. So he's a big believer, and he certainly is a strong advocate on behalf of our industry, which is great.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, have you experienced any hurdles in helping improve the regulatory landscape for credit unions? I mean, obviously that's a challenge, but I mean, have you experienced anything like that? And then how did you get
past everything? Everything in Washington's a hurdle, gridlock everywhere you turn.
No doubt.
Trying to get the smallest bit of change done is a sometimes a hurdle, and oftentimes it is, you know. But we feel like if we keep chipping away little pieces at a time, I mean, for example, I don't think we'll ever see Dodd-Frank repealed, okay? But if we can take pieces of it mm-hmm. and have it rolled back, I think that you'll see, you know, positive reform that will ultimately affect credit unions and small community banks, for that matter, in a positive way. When you look back over 5 years since the CFPB was created, there's been over 1,500 credit unions that have had to close or be merged with other credit unions. Mm-hmm. Probably 1,700 community banks.
That's a lot.
So that's two a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so something's wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
something's not right. And I think if you lift the hood and you look, it's the same symptoms in our industry that translate into other industries as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's a day by day thing, and we try to keep Mick up to speed with what's going on. But you know what's more important is not only developing a strong relationship with your congressman.
Mm-hmm.
You have to also develop that same type of relationship with their staff, because honestly, that's where the real work gets done.
Mm-hmm.
So his chief of staff is a personal friend of mine as well.
Oh wow!
Because I've made him one. I don't know what I do. Maybe I'm a stalker by trade, but
no, you're just a friendly guy.
Well, you know, I try to be real, and I think that they relate to that, and they understand it. The young lady that handles all of his financial services information as it flows in, she's a great person, and I've gotten to know her. She's from the Midwest. She's got, you know, a mother that's moving east with her sister down in Norfolk, Virginia. So when you know those things, the next time you speak on a personal level, not on a professional, yeah. Oh, I'm here to tell you what I want and thank you very much.
Exactly.
And hopefully, you know, you hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the ultimate icebreaker right there. So it's just, hey, how's the family? And then you can
exactly.
get on to business.
Yeah.
That's how
yeah.
it works.
I mean, know if they've got kids, know what their dogs are, you know, all the little things in life that do make a difference when it comes down to having, you know, straightforward conversation. So when you then do ask for something serious, they know it's coming from a heartfelt position.
How often would you say you're in contact with them? Is it like a weekly thing or monthly?
I will see Mick at least once a month.
Really?
When he's in the district.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He'll come in he comes back on Thursdays and usually flies out on Mondays. I hope I'm not telling too much information. But he'll text me and say, you want to go to lunch? And I'll say, sure, you know, or I can't today, but let's catch up next time you're in town.
Sure.
And if I have a piece of information that comes across my desk, like a regulatory alert or something like that, I can easily shoot that off in an email to Natalie Binkholder, who's his financial services aide, who, you know, really works with it and compiles that information much better mm-hmm. than the congressman would, because that's who they all rely on.
Right.
But when you look at it, the sheer number of pieces of information that's coming across the congressional leader's desk, it's mind-boggling. Every 30 minutes, they're rolling in with a different topic. Mm-hmm. Somebody else wants their time, and somebody else wants to bend their ear. So they can't be experts on everything. So they do have to rely on their legislative assistance and aides. And that's why it's important to develop that relationship with them, so that when you do go to them, you say, this is something that we take very seriously, and we want your help with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so like going, I mean, I don't know if you attend the GAC every year or not, but a lot of folks do, obviously. And so like, I would assume going to the GAC and meeting with them is not that big a deal. For some folks, it's a big deal to go meet their representative.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal.
For you, it's like, hey, you know, walk in the park.
I find it almost better to fly up on a Tuesday and come back a late Wednesday, and you go and you meet with who you want to.
Yeah.
One-on-one almost. Yep. I know, but the GAC is a wonderful event. Don't get me wrong.
I agree.
We also go to the NAFQ Congressional Caucus in the fall.
Another great show.
Awesome caucus that it's a little more intimate, mm-hmm. and you get a little more one-on-one time with the guest speakers that are coming in from the legislature.
Couldn't agree more. All right, to wrap up here, David, what advice do you have for other credit unions looking to kind of follow in your footsteps? I mean, what do they need to kind of up the ante in contacting their representatives?
Mike, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and the one thing that I'll give you a takeaway, okay? My golden nugget for the day.
All right.
I think we do need to be focusing on trying to bring in younger people into this advocacy role, okay? Honestly, think about it. The millennial groups right now, they're probably scratching their head saying, what in the world's wrong with Washington? We need to look no further than the debates the other night. The two candidates are running for the highest office in the land. So, I mean, we need to begin to groom that generation so that they are passionate about it. They can articulate the message. And guess what? Go in and sit in front of a 20-year-old legislative aide, they're going to probably relate a lot better than some old boomer.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. A good point, yeah.
I think it's something that we need to be focusing on as credit union leaders, is tapping that energy from a younger person within our organizations and finding the right fit. And honestly, you know, my other hat I wear is business development. So I think the two go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. If I can help solve problems in Washington, that may bring back a little better bottom line to the credit union, and overall we'll be able to help our members.
Indeed. I mean, I did not expect that answer, David. I did not expect that at all. So thank you for that. Wow, that was a good one. So cool. Well, thank you so much, David. I know you're probably super busy and you probably have a representative on hold right now as we're talking. But
Tony might call him later. No,
exactly. I'll call you back. But thank you so much for your efforts and congratulations on your award again. Keep up the good work and hey, look forward to seeing you at the GAC or one of these other shows. So it'll be fun.
Sounds great, Mike. I appreciate what you do to help spread the credit union message as well.
Oh my gosh. My pleasure. My pleasure.